Of course, Putin has strengthened NATO beyond any NATO activist's wildest imaginings. The corporate response, all of these companies pulling out, the effect of all of this.
Well, it remains to be seen, but I think your point is basically correct. The negative response that Putin has elicited across around the world, not everywhere, but most places around the world, has been astonishing and heartening. But let's see. I think it remains to be seen what the policy effects are going to be.
We thank you so much for being with us. Andrew Bacevich, a retired colonel, Vietnam War veteran, president and co-founder of the anti-war think tank Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. His latest book is After the Apocalypse.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programmings of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available on our website, kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The Governance and Policy Committee meets quarterly on the third Tuesday of March, June, September, and December at 6 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify that a meeting is being held.
You never thought to question. You just went on with your lives. 'Cause all they taught you to be was mothers, daughters, wives.
Moving On celebrates Women's History Month this Friday, March 11th, just after the noon news to 1:30. We will hear women folk performers such as Odetta, Rhiannon Giddens, Peggy Seeger, Judy Collins, and many more, bringing their own interpretation to traditional and contemporary folk music. Tune in this Friday, just after noon, to honor women and their music only on KBOO.
Is all they taught you who to be was mothers, daughters, wives. And you believe there was nothing more.
It is 8 a.m. and you're listening to KBOO Portland. This is The Gap. My name is Tammy. With me is the amazing, genius, smart, wicked smart, Althea Billing.
Hi, good morning.
I'm on one.
I'm loving it.
Thank you. I'm non-caffeinated. That's what it is.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, is it because the sun's out and we like, it's daytime?
You know what they say when the sun's out?
Tammy gets hyped up on
there
the radio.
You go.
I think that's what they say.
That's what they're gonna say.
Yeah, start the saying right now. Yeah, this is The Gap Talk Radio Friday mornings. We like to do a two-part show here. We got, boy, you hear about news.
You heard of that?
You heard of news? We're gonna do a little bit of that, and then we have a community question in the second half of the show where folks can call in. So if you do want to talk with us later, 8:30, get your phone, and we'd love to chat. Before we jump into everything, want to let folks know that KBOO has a special programming campaign going on right now. All Thrills, No Frills, Volume 1. A bunch of really fun stuff going on. up and down the schedule, especially today, actually. Mm-hmm. Our International Women's Month series starts tonight at 6 p.m., so look forward to that.
A lot of very cool archived KBOO audio from, like, oh my God, over 10 years ago
now.
10
years, some of it's from 2010, and it's like, well, that was a couple years ago. It's like, no, it was over 10 years ago. And then the dance party, the Music That Moves You dance party, starts tonight, goes into tomorrow.
Lots to be upon hours.
Yeah, lots to be excited about there. We also have a new t-shirt, a Keeping It Real t-shirt designed by Michelle. Michelle did a great job. Woo. So all of that stuff can be found on our website, kboo.fm/give if you want to support. Check out this t-shirt, kboo.fm/thrills.
That's the name.
You can find all of that stuff and to support KBOO. Yeah.
All of this programming is only made possible because of your support and donations from listeners and members. If you can help the cause and keep us afloat, keep us thriving, go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321 or good old snail mail. Just send it to KBOO Radio at 20 Southeast 8th Ave, Portland, Oregon, 97214.
That's us.
That's where it is. And so we can skedaddle over to the first part of the show which we're going to do a news roundup.
News roundup today.
It's a lot of stuff happening.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's start with what has somehow become not even that threatening compared to everything that's going on.
Gas prices, just say.
Just gas prices. Inflation, baby.
$5.15, I saw it on MLK. I said, that's me dusting off my bike. That's what I'm doing.
You're like, is the chain still connected?
I didn't know that you're supposed to oil stuff on a bicycle, and I told a friend of mine, they're like, don't touch it until I come and fix it for you.
It's got a flat tire and the rims touching the ground.
Are they not supposed to touch?
It's the wheel, so the metal part.
Okay. Yeah. I have fenders though.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, boy, inflation sure is bad, you guys.
Not
what's
a
going
fan.
On?
I don't like it.
Willamette Week did some coverage this week, breaking down what that looks like and scouting out the cheapest goods that you could be trying to find.
Oh, maybe that could be a nice little, if you have any tips about where you found cheap gas and stuff, that would be nice.
Well, can I tell you, I didn't even know, I wasn't like totally like foreseeing how extreme the gas prices were going to get. And I went to the cheap gas station where I have a discount and I still paid $70. Mm. I was like, oh, that hurts. Mm. Oh, I don't want to leave my house.
Mm. It's a good conversation starter. Sure.
I saw somebody say on Twitter, like, to everyone who's complaining about the gas prices, like, thanks for letting me know that you're not wealthy enough to date me, which I thought was funny.
That's me.
Yeah, inflation is, like, nearly 8%. Cost of living is wild. And we see it in gas prices, and, you know, the pump is definitely, like, a pretty clear indicator. Mm-hmm.
And foods, too.
So right,
like
because...
$3 a pound for tomatoes. I said, I'm going to get the canned ones.
Yeah. Well, I think it's because when you look at, like, if you've had your car for years, right, the amount of gas that goes into it is the same. And so, I mean, even just thinking back 2 years ago when gas prices were so low, it was like $2
a
gallon.
$1.90.
And so, you know, if you're used to having a $40 tank of gas and suddenly it's $70, it's a lot more apparent than, you know, your groceries. And you're like, oh, did I get the wrong brand by accident? Is that just what it is? But yeah, you're not imagining it. But I will also mention that it is not it's not created by the Ukrainian crisis.
Mm-mm.
That's not helping because the, you know, markets and everything are kind of are freaking out a little bit. But
no, I very distinctly remember it being like four something plus, before the Russian invasion of Ukraine. So, no, but please go on ahead.
I was just going to mention that we've mentioned this on the show before, especially, you know, earlier in the pandemic. Seeing how bad things were economically for everyday people and that the stock market was just going nuts. And and it still has been climbing, but so far out of touch with actual like productivity or like what companies are doing or like, you know, having if you're buying stock, you're not looking at what companies you think have great product or like have potential over the next few years, right? It's really like lost touch with any tethers to reality. And it's yeah. So, but the point that I want to make about that is that this, the level that we're in of inflation that we're at right now is just unsustainable, and something is going to have to be done about it. But there isn't like a ton of political will to pull the lever that the government has, which has to do with like raising interest rates, because that means the mass growth will level off and dip some. Like, we're going to have a little bit of depression, recession vibes. I don't know why I said vibes. It really kind of undercuts the severity of that. But, you know, the risks of not doing it are great, you know, that already wages have stagnated behind the cost of living. Portland is one of the most cities with the most explosive growth in cost of living. So, you know, folks around here definitely know what that looks like. And, you know, when we're talking about gas and groceries, things that people don't really have a choice about spending money on, those, the inflation, you know, becoming that much more noticeable at that level, you know, then we get bad stuff happening at that point.
Well, you know, for every Friday night, there's got to be a Sunday morning, you know, they say.
Yeah. And right now I feel like it's like Saturday at 3 a.m. and we're like, we can keep going. This is great. Is that pizza place open? No, it's fine.
Yeah. And you were explaining it, if you want to give a little kind of under, you know, explanation as to those terms of inflation and depression.
Yeah. So, like, the capitalists will say, so this is just meaning that I haven't personally vetted this idea, but it is a common idea. You know, you take an economics class or whatever, that a little bit of inflation is good because it means that, you know, if you're buying assets or whatever, that the value of it is going to appreciate. It's going to become more expensive. So, like, you buy a house, you know, you fix it up, ideally, and then, you know, even with market forces, like, you could be able to sell it for more money than you bought it for. Like, that's kind of part of an easier way to think about it. And so a little bit of inflation is good. A lot of inflation is bad because it means that dollars are worth less than they used to be. Because, I mean, like, you know, you think about, like, you know, the 80s or whatever, it's like, oh, I used to be able to buy a pack of gum for 25 cents. I don't know if that's accurate of the 80s, but right, like, the value of
5 cents.
Yeah, the value of money has, you know, how far a dollar goes changes over time. And a little bit of that is okay. A lot of it is, you know, is a crisis, actually. Mm-hmm. And the kind of thing that, of course, the Great Depression we saw, everybody running to take their money out of the bank, and it doesn't, you know, its value has decreased because there's too many in the market, essentially, and it's too easy to acquire. So we're just at a really high inflation rate right now. And that's the hard thing about inflation is, like, how do you make people care about it? Because it's like, first of all, it's boring until it gets to paying $70, $80 for a tank of gas. And I mean, I think it's also like, we're seeing that it is strategic from, like, the Biden administration saying, like, oh, guys, the inflation and, like, all of your staple goods are so bad because of Russia did this to you, you know.
Russia
did this to you. Not 2 years of, you know, pandemic bankrolling of mass corporations or whatever. But, yeah. And so the depression will mean that, to sort of ratchet that inflation back down. Deflation means that the value of the currency goes up and yada, yada, yada. I don't want to get too in the weeds here.
It's like listening to Rich Dad Poor Dad over here.
Planet Asset, Money, hello, on the phone?
Assets and... I forgot the other thing, but...
No, that's fine. Yeah. We get the point, but
this is... that's... I mean, I know that we're sounding kind of, like, jolly about it, but I'm terrified. Like, I, you know, everything keeps going up besides for, of course, wages.
Yeah.
You know? And,
It's just wild to think of, like, $15 minimum wage. First of all, I don't think we've gotten there in the city of Portland yet. we have the goal, but we're like ratcheting up year by year. I could be wrong about that. But just like $15 won't cut it.
Nope. And that's not even millennials thinking that we're too good for something. It's just like, no, the math is just the thing that you say that really important for us to know.
Yeah.
It's saying that this isn't adding up.
Yeah. And I mean, it has to do with inflation and the cost of living increasing.
And let us not forget, student loans are still a thing. Remember, they're like student loan forgiveness.
We'll cancel the debt. Like they could do that.
Remember that book, Lies My Teachers Told Me?
Oh.
Mm.
Well, I don't know if I had any teachers say that they're definitely going to cancel student debt, especially because some of them were bankrolled by student debt. So.
I hope that we come out of this alive, you know?
I mean, yeah, I hope so too. I hope that, you know, there are actions taken to deal with that, and that, you know, the political will doesn't just become, you know, well, I want to win re-election, so right. I don't want to be the guy that has to bring the economic hard times,
yeah,
so that we can get back on track and not have our currency go to zero, you know, or like mean very little. Anyway, should we hit our next topic?
Sure. This is yes, we shall. This is we're gonna talk about the Don't Say Gay bill. Which is pretty...
Talk to me.
What's up, Florida? What's going on? You okay? I mean, it's really... I'll never get over how people always try to put into policy... Just, like, bigotry into policy.
Yeah.
In 2022.
Yeah.
We're still doing this? Mm-hmm. And why is this... why did this pass?
Yeah.
But I do have, if you want to, I have a clip that kind of from a teacher in New York, I believe, kind of talking about, or in New York or in Florida,
mm-hmm.
who's an educator, kind of talking about it. But yes, this is, I don't even know where to start with this. This has been kind of like a long time brewing up to this point. Yeah. There's been so many different bills that have been attacking queer youth, and just like queer people in general, mm-hmm. in not just Florida and Texas. And right now there is the Don't Say Gay bill, or that's what the opponents are calling it, in which folks are just not allowed to, or excuse me, teachers are not allowed to talk about anything that's relating to orientation or gender identity in the classroom between K and third grade specifically.
Mm.
Anything that might be inappropriate or harmful to the child, which is very vague language, and all of this is definitely on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot to unpack here. Teachers are not the enemy, but they are like the subject of a lot of this stuff that we've been seeing. You know, like you mentioned, bigoted things coming into law, sort of trying to enforce via teachers,
mm-hmm.
you know, old conservative Christian values, this anti-progressivism.
Mm. And it's like you're, it's like kind of with, you know, we talked about it on the show with Newberg, and it's just like, why does it hurt you so much to like welcome people who don't have the same lifestyle as you? Like, why does it hurt you so much that they would feel welcomed? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times folks might not even want you to bend over backwards to change everything about what you're doing.
Yeah.
But don't bend over backwards to oppress other people.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, can you just chill for a second?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I think another thing while reading about all this and kind of like hearing, especially like queer youth and their opinion about this, is basically like, if your kids are going to be gay, they're going to be gay. Like,
yeah.
No amount of you trying to...
Your third grade teacher, like, being kind to you or, like, you know, explaining things about how the world works isn't going to change that.
And then sending... Basically trying to... In my opinion, it's trying to send teachers back in the closet if they do have same-sex marriage. And, I mean, can they not talk about it? Are they going to... You know, and what... It's like this moral superior... This game of moral superiority. And it's like, wait, aren't y'all... Christians, like, don't you have moral values that are telling you to not, don't judge a book by its cover, like, love thy neighbor as you love yourself, mm-hmm. no one can judge me but God, like, aren't those Are those Tupac lyrics? Because I'm pretty sure those are from the Bible, as well as Tupac lyrics. But it's just, it's sickening. It's so sickening. And if your kid's going to be gay, they're going to be gay. Like, it, and wouldn't you want them to be, like, even if they aren't, like, don't you want your kid to not be bigoted? To not be, what, like...
Just, yeah. It's like, claiming to solve a problem that doesn't exist. This was not... a pervasive issue of, like, second grade teachers mentioning that gay people exist. And it's like, oh my gosh. My 6-year-old. I was trying to keep this from them.
Right, yeah. And all of this, is, as a black woman, I'm always like, whenever it comes to, like, gender identity issues, I'm just like, this is, we're next, you know? If we're not first, we're next, you know? Because it's cloaked in this language of morality.
Yeah.
And which in itself is trying to say, so are, if you're a queer person or trans person, like, are you're not moral? Like, is that, you know, so that, and that basically is what they're saying, which is completely bogus. But why are you trying to make people not exist when they exist? You say your school is supposed to be a place where kids are being prepared for the real world. Okay, so the real world is a very complex place made up of a lot of different things beyond mathematics, you know, and science. And what else is that, the thing that they keep saying? Oh, right, and then another thing that, you know, in relation to this, there is a school somewhere, and they started adding LGBTQIA plus history into their curriculum.
Yeah.
And it's like there've been like
firefighters,
like the people that are in airplanes during wartime.
Oh, fighter pilots.
Yes, fighter pilots.
It's a hard word to say.
There've been like inventors, and all of this is part of their identity, and whether or not they, like, you know, it just, representation matters. It really, it totally really matters does. And especially for kids. And whether you believe it or not, kids are, you know, if we're using the same language that, you know, the creators of these bills are using, kids are indoctrinated to a very heterosexual society.
Yeah.
It is what it is. And to try to not push that down someone's throat and being like, there are many ways of being, I'm trying to smell the number 5, and it's my fault for trying to do that. There's no
it's to put kids in the crosshairs, I think, is a really upsetting aspect of this. Kids are like information sponges, you know, and this is not, you know, I'm sure that there are parents that pushed for this. I don't know that you know, I don't think it's a parent's movement of, like, I get to control what my kid does and doesn't know. First of all, that's not the society that we live in anymore. Does your kid have an iPad? You don't know half the stuff that your kid has seen. Let me just tell you. Don't. Sorry. I don't want to, like.
This is true, though.
I don't want to go off on YouTube kids right now, but if your child has seen anything about Spider-Man and Elsa, watch out, okay? But anyway, like, this idea of parental control, or like, I know best, I should be in telling the school board what to teach kids. Parents don't know that stuff. Parents like went to high school 20 years ago. There are different strategies of teaching kids things. There's different like things that are important for child development that we figured out since then. I'm speaking generally here, but the idea that, you know, as a parent, you're the end all be all of what your kid is exposed to, what your kid experiences, and that, you know, the way I'm fine, I grew up fine. I'm definitely not passing trauma on to my children. That sort of mentality is very pervasive, you know, and it does make me think of what happened in Newburgh and is now being, you know, litigated. Reminder for folks, the Newburgh school board over the summer, with no student or parental or teacher input, passed a thing that says that that banned any kind of pride flags, any kind of like anything to do with pride, anything to do with Black Lives Matter, any quote unquote political stuff. Well, that's not actually a quote. I think they said politically charged. I don't know. It was political stuff.
Political, yeah.
They didn't name any of the other political stuff. They didn't say that the blue Lives Matter can't be in our schools.
They hate the blacks and the queers. What can we do? We're too cool for school.
And, you know, and just thinking about this, thinking about Florida, like, one of the things that stuck out in the Newburgh school district when people were talking about it, there were a lot of kids that in that school district and teachers and parents that signed up to say, like, this is so harmful. Like, it's harmful to me. It's harmful to my classmates. This is the wrong direction. We don't need to be doing this. And then there's, like, some random people that don't have kids in the school district. Mm. Some don't live in the school district, fired up about this, ready
opinions.
To spout off, you know? So I think that, I mean, especially when it's coming from people that don't have kids, you know, it's like, if you don't, you can homeschool your kid, you know? I don't know. It's claiming to solve a problem that doesn't exist and vilifying communities that are already marginalized.
Yeah, it's like picking someone your own size, man.
Why don't you go after the corporations? Huh?
Yeah, you know, hold that same energy. You see that $5 at the pump? All right, let's all band together.
No. Welcome to our cafeteria sponsored by Surge. Sorry to call it Surge. I don't know if they're sponsoring cafeterias. Did you ever watch Daria?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, they had that whole thing about the soda sponsoring their whole school. That's a great episode.
I remember when Gatorade was in the schools, and then they had to change, or they had sodas, and then they were like, no more. We're going to change all the soda machines to Gatorade because that's, you know, electrolytes, I guess. You know, in there's this WAPO, is what they call what we call in D.C., but here we call it Washington Post.
The Washington
article.
Post.
Or actually, no, it's NBC. That's shocking. It's a really good article on NBC.
Whoa, easy. speaking of getting political.
Sorry, I didn't mean to. but we'll link it in the and the episode page at kbo.fm/thegap. Mm-hmm. And they had interviewed the director of the American Library Association Office for Intellectual Freedom in November. And they were saying that books that were related to LGBTQ content and race content have always been, you know, people have always tried to, like, ban them, and people always try to, like, mess with them. But now there is a chilling uptick, and it kind of made me think of the fact that we, you know, now, as opposed to, I guess, when, like, Tipper Gore and Jello Biafra were having their beef, and, like, all those banned books and Mouse was banned and all that stuff, the internet wasn't around yet.
Yeah.
And I think that right now folks are finding their little corners of the internet, whether, you know, be what it is, and they're just, they're just mobilizing through it. And it's, you know, and organizing goes both ways, you know?
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see how much more, like, just traffic is coming in to these folks in education, in libraries, that are just basically getting harassed. Like, why do you have Beloved on the shelves, you know? Like, and it's really, really sad, and especially specifically with Beloved. It's like, that story, it's like, you realize, like, I don't know, it's just like the fact that someone had to choose whether, you know, what to do with their child, whether send them back to slavery or end their life. It's just like, that's not, it's like, if you want to ban that, you don't get it, and maybe you're part of the problem.
Right.
But I was just, that also is, like, kind of a thing that made me think of just the internet's impact on bigoted legislation and bigoted policies, and how they gain so much traffic. Because while this bill, and the thing that confused me is this bill was passed, but when you saw all the students, it was like thousands of students protesting this.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? How did this happen if so many people and parents and adults, you know, I say adults, I mean, like, people who can vote, are really against this? You have, like, but, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, putting kids in the crosshairs to try to score political points, to try to, you know, galvanize a base of people that are not actually concerned about child welfare, so that they'll bankroll your next campaign.
Well, that's Glenn, I can't believe I forgot. Basically won off of that platform of, like, banning books.
Oh, Glenn Youngkin.
Youngkin, yes, thank you.
Virginia governor.
Yes, Virginia. it's basically a brand newcomer to politics, but you know, you just get on the right platform, the right place, and people will, you know, if you're the king of the bigots.
Yeah. I'm thinking about banned books now. It's like they never ban the books that are actually racist, you know?
Oh, that's because that's American history.
Yeah. No, Mark Twain, we got to read that one. But in high school, we had like a banned books week where everybody had to, like, these are the books that people are trying to ban, you guys. It's not just Harry Potter. It's also 1984.
I remember Mouse when I was in school, and they were like, oh, we can't read this because it's banned.
Yeah.
It was neat.
I mean, yeah. Hey, kids out there, check out a banned books list. Maybe there's something in there that's more interesting than you thought it might be.
Yeah. And it's yeah. I mean, it's legislating morality is something that or like, I don't know, because we can always like say, well, what about this? What about that? You know. Mm-hmm. And I get that. Sure, it's not a one size fits all for this thing. But yeah. I think that we like this. Just feels. I think we've seen so many times why doing this is not good, to like limit people's how they can express themselves. Mm-hmm. While literally not hurting anyone else.
Yeah.
And this is, again, like not the first bill that has been coming around. There has been over 100-something bills.
160, I think.
Hundreds, yes.
In the past year.
And anti-LGBTQ bills. And like, well, you know, ratcheting it up. It's not going to stop your kids from, you know, if they are gay, they will, like, I don't know what to tell you. It's maybe, you know, I don't know, chill out.
I mean,
and,
I think,
I don't know.
I mean, they're no doubt going to face some pretty severe lawsuits.
So someone is getting sued.
Tammy's phrase of the year here.
Keeping that energy.
But yeah, our support goes out to folks who are fighting these bills that are popping up all over the place. Like, fighting the good fight, you know?
For sure,
And so, you know, very sad that this is something that we're dealing with in 2022.
And there is this quote that I saw on my friend Derek's desk, and it says, be gentle with each other so that we can be dangerous together. And
I
on
like
that,
that
note, we'll go on a quick musical break, and we will be back in a couple of moments here on The Gap on KBOO Portland.
Crystal clear. We're here.
I Am America by Shea Diamond doing it. Oh, hello, Althea. Are you there with me?
Hey, hi. How are you
doing? I love that song so much. I love it. It pumps me up. Mm-hmm. and this artist is fascinating. Woo, their story. Shea Diamond is the name. On to the second part of the program.
Yeah, I was going to say,
here.
Welcome back to The Gap. We're on to our community question portion of the program.
I'm clapping. Yay.
Yay. So this is the folks when... This is the part when folks can call in and let us know your thoughts. Our question of the day. Tammy, do you want to introduce?
Yeah, sure. We are asking folks about what makes you feel appreciated, what makes you feel loved and appreciated. You can call at 503-231-8187. Again, what makes you feel appreciated and loved?
I like this question.
Good.
It's a framework of self-reflection that I had not previously considered.
Maybe what's the last thing that someone did to make you feel appreciated? I like appreciated very much.
Yeah.
Because that's a really good feeling, I think. I like
appreciated. You know, you notice, I think, a lot more when you're feeling unappreciated.
Mm.
So I think reflecting, I'm like, you know what? People do appreciate me.
It's like the gas price is all over again.
Yeah. Oh, no. We need a different word than that. Why does it have so many English? This language. Why does everything have the same...
Silent K's.
Meaning... Silent K's.
In English. You know knife? You spell it with a silent K, yeah.
True.
So, Althea, I'm going to ask you while people call at 503-231-8187 to answer the community question of what makes you feel loved and appreciated? When's the last time you felt appreciated?
Well, I feel appreciated, like, you know, reasonably frequently, I would say. But the story that came to mind when we were discussing this before the show and deciding what we wanted to ask folks, one thing that came to mind was when I visit my mom's house, she will get the type of cereal that I liked when I was little, and she'll hide it from my sister so that my sister can't have any until I get there. And then... hopefully I get one bowl before it's like, you know, a free-for-all of everybody racing to the bottom of this box of cereal. It's just good cereal. It doesn't even have toys in it. Do they still do toys in cereal? You can call in about that, 503-231-8187. But it does make me feel special to have secret cereal that is at least a little bit only for my consumption. Sorry, Claire. If you want to talk about what makes you feel loved or appreciated, please do give us a call, 503-231-8187.
And we do have Darth on the line. Darth, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
And we can hear
you
as well.
Okay. Loved and appreciated. I think one of the things that everybody can do to spread a little more of that around is courtesy and respect. If you are polite to people and you are thoughtful and you are reaching out to help other people be comfortable in the world as well as yourself, then that is courtesy, that is respect, and that generates cooperation and, dare I say it, love. There was a bumper sticker a million years ago at Saturday Market that said, courtesy lubricates, and we need some more social lubrication. You know, we need to get along with each other, and that's one of the best ways to do it. Thank you.
Yeah, I love that answer.
Thank you, Darth.
Courtesy lubricates. Hello.
You like that, Althea. I heard that.
That cracked me up. I've never seen that bumper sticker before, but I'll have to keep my eyes out for
Saturday Market, tell ya.
Saturday Market.
I love that. Yeah, a little love, courageous appreciation. And we'd have Sally on the line. Sally, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
And we can hear you. Go on ahead.
I 2 years ago, my friend, neighbor friend here over in Southeast was in the hospital having a baby. And they weren't coming home. They weren't communicating. I was really scared. Their cats, of course, were anxious, waiting for them to get home with their new baby. And it was such a stressful time, March 9/11. And then March 13th, they still weren't home. And you guys, you, Tammy, you and Jen were on the radio 24/7 for some days there. And I cannot tell you how much that kind of changed my life a whole bunch as far as appreciation goes, because I was stressed to the max. And things, you know, things were challenging anyway. But I made it through, and every day I think about that. And I've been trying to prepare a little video, a little tape to phone in how much I appreciate that for the little archive. But I'm so glad I get to tell you right now that that made such a huge difference to me. And the baby made it home okay, and he's fine, and he just turned two, of course.
Aww.
But, you know, birth, it can be difficult sometimes, so it took a little while, but they made it home. Anyway, I just can't believe how much I respect you. And Althea, I know you're involved, too, so what happened 2 years ago. So thank you.
Thank you, Sally. I really, really do appreciate. I feel appreciated right now.
Heck yeah.
You have no, both of you, and your show is so funny. I just can't believe how much I love it.
Thank you. Thank you. That means the world. That's awesome.
Okay. We love making a difference, but being told we're funny,
that's
even better.
Next level.
Oh my God, you're funny.
Thank you, Sally. We hope you have a great day.
I will. Thanks. Bye-bye.
If other folks want to call in, what makes you feel loved and appreciated? You don't got to talk about us. Come on. But you can. 503-231-8187 is that phone number.
You know? I feel
Cable the community
so
connection
full right now.
You know?
For
appreciating
sure.
All different types of music, all different, you know, stories, public affairs type stuff, you know. I could talk about it forever. Clearly we care.
Oh, that got me a little off my, I'm like, you know, got a yeah. Yeah, that was really nice. I forgot about that. And it's interesting how, yeah, it was March 13th,
yeah,
2020. And now March 13th, 2022 is when mask mandates will be removed.
That's wild.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. And just to think about how much has changed since then, like, yeah, you and Jenna were in here around the clock keeping us live because we didn't have systems in place for people to not be in this station. And, you know, we've had to develop them since then.
I think I got a flashback to that. That's what that was. Like, whoa.
Okay, yeah. Working out of the flashback.
All right, getting back into the groove. 503-231-8187. What makes you feel appreciated and loved? When's the last time someone did something to make you feel appreciated and loved? Or maybe the other way around.
Yeah.
You know? That's always nice.
I think, yeah, with the courtesy comment, I mean, people just want to be, you know, considered and thought of.
Seen.
Mm. And that there are little tokens of that that you can give freely. Can I say one of mine?
Sure.
I don't know what it is about me, but I just sort of expect that whenever I say stuff, like, people don't retain the information. And so if someone's like, oh yeah, you have that thing this weekend, don't you? I was like, did I tell you that? How do you know that? That's so cool you remembered. Do I remember stuff about other people?
Yeah, it is cool to remember stuff when people tell you things to remember it. Yeah.
I mean, and I think that I do know what is going on in my friends' lives and stuff, but I'm always like floored when someone's like, oh yeah, how's that going? Like, I know you were working on that. And I was like, you do? You remember stuff that I say? It's crazy.
It's like, well, how's that greenhouse that you're working, the miniature greenhouse?
Yeah, I am working on a miniature greenhouse. I haven't, the inside's all done. I just got to get the exterior together.
I'm not coming by until I see it, until it's done.
Tammy's boycotting my home until I finish a miniature greenhouse.
I'm trying to think of the last time I felt appreciated. I appreciate when people see me or validate me. Like, God, I'm trying to think of something more specific because those are such big words, you know?
Yeah.
Like, such all-encompassing words. But, yeah. Well, we got a couple of people on the phone, so I'm going to take care of that
real
quick.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, look, it's good to reflect on, you know what? I mean, we're talking here on a Friday, so, like, you know, we have the momentum of the week behind us. But, hey, Sunday night comes around, and those thoughts of, does anybody even love me, kind of come up. So maybe hold this with you for the next couple of days until Sunday comes around and you're convinced that you don't even know anybody because people do love and appreciate you.
And speaking of which, let's see what our caller Colin has to say about love and appreciation. Colin, can you hear us?
Yep, I can hear you.
We can hear you. Yep, go on ahead.
Yay, that's a good start. So I appreciate you guys' sense of humor, too. That helps a lot. You know, it's a good way to start the day. I was just thinking about, I went through very recently a family member passing, and how many people, you know, showed, you know, affection and, you know, the pouring of love and caring and, you know, and support. And it really kind of hit me in the middle of, you know, it, that I realized that this would be kind of cool if we just did this all the time anyway, you know, you just randomly do it, you know, just text someone and say, yeah, I love you, I appreciate you, I was thinking about you. But what it reminded me of, too, is I used to work in this community. It was an intentional community co-op, and I lived there for a while, then I went up there and just kept working there. And what I loved about being there is I didn't get paid really what I normally would get paid in my job, but I just loved the atmosphere because people always stopped and said, thank you so much for what you do. You know, and it was so authentic. It was just so, you know, I'm going to give you a hug. And then, I was like, God, I'd just come up here and work just for that. You know, just having someone stop and say, thank you for what you do. Thank you for what you bring to the community. You know, what would the community be without you? And just that being noticed for someone who's, you know, and I look at it like this. Now I'm back in the city and I go, you know, very rarely does anybody just stop, make eye contact and go, hey, I appreciate you for what you bring to the table, you know. But that was one of the things that really helped me start reaching out to people that way. Mm-hmm. I just do it now randomly. One of my favorite things to do now is just randomly text someone and say, these are three things I love about you. And I love the responses. You know, wow, you know, I didn't, thank you. So I think a lot of people don't even know what to say when you do that these days. So,
oh yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, but that's one of my favorite things to do now is just text someone I know randomly and say, here's three things I love about you. And some of my friends, I have to think really hard about those three things, but you know. But anyway, that's what I like to do. It's fun too. It's fun, yeah, to get a response from people, you know.
Thank you, Colin. It's beautiful.
You're very welcome. You guys have a great day.
You too.
I like that.
That's an interesting point, because if I got a text from someone right now, like, you know, even you, and it was, mm-hmm, like, here are three things I love, to be like, oh my God, Althea, are you okay? What is happening? Are you all right? But it shouldn't be that way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I send you memes on the internet all the time.
Yeah.
And I don't expect you to send any back.
Mm-hmm.
I just do it because I want you to know that it made me think of you.
Sometimes it's a lot of times it's like animals and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's great. I love
that.
They're
so silly.
And I try to respond to all of them. I think my feed is less things that I think that you would want to see.
You don't have animals on there?
I do sometimes. Can I tell you, I'm deep into capybara Instagram. Do you know what a capybara is?
Like the British candy?
No, it's the world's largest rodent.
Oh, God, yeah, I know that you're into that.
I'm not into it. They're just cute, okay?
We talked about this, I remember, yeah.
Was it on the show already? Should I stop talking?
I don't remember if it was on the show, if it was just on your internet, on your social media.
It's just something that I've been looking at lately.
They're
cute.
And
people keep them as pets. There's, like, these really calming videos of them in, like, a yuzu bath.
Mm-hmm.
They're just cute, you know? Capybaras, the world's largest rodent.
Well, now,
little factoid for you.
Now that I know that you love them so much and that they're your favorite and you're into them, nuts into the vault.
Yeah, all right. Give me a capybara meet and greet, then I'll feel appreciated. But I do like that text idea. It's something that my dad and my stepmom will do kind of in like a different way. Where they'll be like, oh, I was just thinking about this, like, this shared memory. That was so fun. And then I'll think, like, that was so fun. Like, that was a good time. And then I also think, like, what was I going through? What were we up to? But it was cool to go to, like, you know, visit or go to that place or, you know. But, yeah, I think mutually appreciated experiences, memories.
Reflecting on them.
Yeah. And this is, like, a little bit tangential, but I think that it is a good thing to think about, especially when you want to, you know, compliment somebody, pay somebody a meaningful compliment, especially you know, people that you're close to. Some, I know some of us have real, like, joking relationships where we're, like, you know, mean in a fun way, but, like, have we said the genuine things that we feel about each other? But thinking about complimenting, thinking about the people that you love, what are the qualities that you love about them that have nothing to do with how they serve you? So it's not like they're so generous or like they're so nice, they're so kind. Like, those are wonderful qualities, but what is it about them, like, intrinsically that you appreciate? Because, you know, everybody can make the effort to be generous, to be kind, but you're like, oh, you think I'm funny?
I wonder if that's something, you know, something that's intrinsic, if it's something that's more of like you are learning how to be those things from this person, and that's why it's like it pours into you almost, you know?
Yeah.
And that's okay. I have a friend, Derek, I don't know if Derek's listening, but another thing, Derek made me a birthday cake for my birthday when no one in my life has ever done that. Like, no one's ever made me anything for my birthday. Like, my mom's bought me cake, but they made it. Like, they made it and wrote my name on it and bought candles. Like, who does that for a person that you've known for like a year, you know?
Yeah.
And I
what
was like,
what kind of cake was it?
It was matzah cake with chocolate on it.
Ooh.
Yeah. And Esther even tried to get some of it. She eventually did, but she didn't get sick, so it's fine. But
okay.
To think that, like, and then I was like, I realized, like, this is the type of person that I want to be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized, well, you know, I don't know. It's like, I can really do a whole, like, thing about, like, niceness and how you can only be nice to others if you're nice to yourself first, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I felt really, really embraced, not just loved or appreciated. I felt like not alone in the world for once, you know?
Yeah, that's beautiful.
It's
shout
strong.
Out Derek.
Shout out Derek, yes. And I always wonder, like, how can I make others feel the way that I felt at that moment, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, I can't replicate it, right? But I think it is the little things, like, oh, you like burritos from this spot, you know, I just, you know, let me grab you food from there or something.
Yeah.
Or I think that something, the whole premise of this question even came to me from Edie's comment, who's an awesome caller, friends of the show, shout out to Edie, about how they felt most appreciated when people change things without them even having to, like, fully vocalize it, like not wearing perfume in a, you know, if you know that someone has a sensitivity or not. I forgot she mentioned a couple of other things, but
yeah,
it just
like making space for you,
yes,
based on what you're up to.
Yeah. And I think the more that you are marginalized in this world, maybe not marginalized in the world, but the more that the world does not care about you, the more that, like, that appreciation can, like, goes longer, you know, I think.
Yeah.
Or the more that you feel like the world doesn't care about you.
Right.
And then it can be something as small as, like, you know, looking at someone in the eye for a long time and just, like, being nice. Or something I really appreciate is when people just do this in cars, like, raise their
the
hand.
Wave.
The wave.
The wave.
People don't do that enough.
People,
like,
don't do that
in
enough.
When I was a kid,
yeah,
that was the thing. You gave the wave when someone lets you cut in front of them. You gave the wave when a pedestrian is walking. You gave the wave just because you see.
Hey.
Yeah. And now it's like, ooh, that's a bit. We show our feelings in some way.
Yeah. I have a funny story related to waves. But if folks want to call in, before I say that, what makes you feel loved, appreciated, embraced, as Tammy said? 503-231-8187. We got eight or so minutes left. We'd love to hear from you. The waving at cars thing that I have to say. So, you know, my dad was, like, complaining about that. He's like, you know, people in the city, he's lived in the city a long time, spent some time out of the city. Oh, excuse me. And he's like, well, the people in the city, they don't wave. But he's like a pedestrian wanting to wave at passing cars. Like, he wants everybody to be waving at everybody.
Oh, right. Yeah, because
it's so funny.
This, yeah.
My dad's also a very talkative sort. Loves, will befriend, will talk your ear off, essentially. And, you know, knows too many people to keep track. I would not be able to keep track, but he does appreciate, you know, being acknowledged when
he's like the mayor.
He's like the mayor unofficially.
Yeah.
And anywhere he goes, he's acting like he's the mayor.
It's ambassador, that's the word.
Yeah. He's like, oh, he waved, or someone's just, you know, hey.
It's, but again, it's that there's a through line of being seen and being acknowledged.
Yeah, all these things are like tied up together.
That's, isn't that, and I don't know, in a way it's like a little sad. That's like, I don't know, I wish we all did feel seen and acknowledged, like, enough that when that happens, it's not so like, oh wow, you see me? You know, it's like,
it's not such an endorphin rush.
I mean, but I get it, I get it. And yeah. I wonder, I get it. And we have so many things that are piling up against us, mm-hmm. you know, like, things, you know, like literal, like things that get in our way, like whether they're phones or like, yeah. you know, what, computers or things that just tear us apart, and misinformation, you know, stuff like that, or just straight up like, you know, the pandemic, you know, yeah. just not being yeah. able to embrace one another or be how we are used or how we know to being, you know, we yeah. have to change that up a lot.
Yeah. Strategies for connection had to change a lot with yeah. with the pandemic.
And it's like, you get with it or you get out. And that in itself alienates a lot of people. So mm-hmm. I'm glad that we, especially like grandparents at the beginning of the pandemic, you know, being unable to see their like families and yeah. stuff, like that was heartbreaking, you know. And I appreciate seeing ways that people figured out how to like maneuver around that safely.
Yeah. And yeah, I think it just underscores how important like that connection to other people, that mm-hmm. being known, being seen by others, you know, especially when, you know, we don't all live close to our families, we don't all like right. live close to all of our friends and stuff, you feel even further away when you can't, you know, embrace them in the way that you want to, literally or figuratively.
Right.
But yeah, well, maybe there's some takeaways here of what we can be doing, the collective we could be doing, to make others feel more loved, more appreciated. I think we've talked a bit about, you know, like gift giving,
mm-hmm.
thinking about and it doesn't have to be, I don't think any of it has to be big. Large scale presents, I think, make people feel uncomfortable a lot of the time. But like, you know, I baked something and I brought you it. Are you allergic to nuts? I made one with and without nuts just to make sure that you'd be able to have one. You don't want it? That's okay. You know, it's sometimes it really is that thought that counts. Not saying that everybody needs to bake, because some of us, that's not our calling.
Some of us, maybe it's better you don't.
Yeah.
but we have another caller on the line. Camila, can you hear us?
Yes.
We can hear you. Go on ahead.
So I just had my 80th birthday.
Oh, congrats.
And thank you. I had my mother over and a friend who also baked me a cake.
Nice.
He asked me what kind of cake I want. And we had a family Zoom.
Hmm.
And that was really, really good feeling to get everybody together and share that. But this is the story about feeling good and sense of gratitude. My mother's 99. She's in memory care. She's demented, but she's not at the point where she's not able to recognize people and, you know, loses touch with where she is or anything like that. And I bring her home for dinner maybe once a week on Sundays. And this last time when it was my birthday, you know, she really enjoyed being there, and she's very happy. She just lights up whenever she sees me. And the only problem is that when it's time to go back to the memory care to take her back, she really loses it. She just gets delusional and gets confused and says, well, you know, where are you taking me? Are we going back to New York? Where's my car parked? You know, all these really loony things. And it happens almost every time. So the last time, I just got a little bit impatient with her as I was bringing her back. I said, look, Mom, it's the same thing every week. You come and you relax and you have something to eat. When it's time to go back, you come up with all of this stuff that just doesn't make any sense. You know, you live in the memory care at the courtyard. That's where I'm returning you from, where I picked you up and where your room is. We get back there and, you know, I said, do you recognize it? And she's feeling a little embarrassed by that. And we get inside and get to her room. And I think that, you know, she was feeling chastised. And when I was turning to leave, she puts her arms around me and says, "Thank you for all you do for me." And I started to leave, and she held on to me. And that really made me feel good, really made me feel appreciated.
That's beautiful, Camilo. I appreciate you for that, too. That can't be easy, so I really do appreciate you. And thank you for sharing that.
Thank you so
much.
Happy birthday. Got us a little emotional in the studio.
Yeah, it's touching, isn't it?
It is. It is. And those little moments of appreciation make it all worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you take care of yourself, and you know, we'll be here next week. Hopefully, we'll hear from you. We're going to have to wrap it up right now. So thank you for calling in.
Bye-bye.
See ya. What a beautiful ending for today's show.
Yeah.
Again, be careful and gentle with one another so that we can be dangerous together. This has been The Gap here in KBOO Portland. For more information about this program, you can go to kboo.fm/thegap. To help support programming like this, you can go to kboo.fm/give. We are in our fundraiser right now, so any and all support is much appreciated. Althea, anything else before we wrap it up?
Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next time.
See ya.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Tune in to KBOO on Friday, March 11th at 8 p.m. for KBOO's Music That Moves You Dance Marathon! Yeah! As a part of our All Thrills, No Frills special programming campaign, the Blue